Was Damon's use of his dragon on the Kingsguard more or less likely to get them to tell him the truth?
Does Rhaenyra need more allies or more dragons?
And how many childbirth scenes do you want to see in season 2 of House of the Dragon?
All those questions and more will be answered on this episode of the Joffrey of
Podcast. I've
been very busy. Many important matters require King's attention.
I'm King now. King now.
I am King.
Kiss it.
Kiss it again.
Your fingers or your
King doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one, but girls.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the King. I'm telling Mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me as always is Catfish.
I'm sort of here.
We've witnessed the 10th and final episode of season 1 of House of the Dragon. Holy smokes. What is your rating for episode 10, The Black Queen?
Bubba, I'm going to give this 8.85, what I like to call double C's.
Double C's?
Yeah, cringy childbirths.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it minus 2.15 points because there was only one good guy in it. Well, I guess there was two, Otto and then Aemon. I'm going to give plus one for justice for Aemon in this episode. That's right. I've gone full team green here, Bubba. Honestly, I love the episode. The only thing is, and I guess maybe we'll talk about the season as a whole, this is really, I would have wanted more for the end of season one. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, we did, and not only that, but it seemed like we spent all this time getting her to the point where it's going to be a no scourged earth or earth policy. And I kind of wanted to see how that played out, to see how far they would push her before she could push back. And now it seems like they put her into a corner. All because, and I just want to make this clear, because Luke, not as I said in the tweet, Jace, this is all because Luke couldn't handle his dragon. Am I right?
Yeah. Let me just say, the fact that we've got you on Team Green, that's all that I care about. Come to Team Green.
I'm there.
The Greens need our allies. Here, which of my daughters do you want to marry so you can get on Team Greens? I love that you went there, Catfish. I'm not going quite as high as you are, but okay. I am going to give this 8 double L's out of 10.
Double L's?
Yeah, well, double L's stands for Luke Leganis, because he took a high dive into the narrow sea. So Luke Leganis, it may be Shipbreaker's Bay, whatever's there at Storm's End. And
all right.
He took a high dive, 8 out of 10, back in July of this year, 2022. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You and I were invited to the world premiere of House of the Dragon.
Yes, us.
What? Why? We still don't know why. How we got an invite to the world premiere. When I watched that very first episode, I thought to myself, for most of it, I'm like, well, I'm intellectually engaged. I can understand what the story's trying to do, but I wasn't emotionally engaged. And so that's what I was talking about when I saw the first episode this season. Now I've seen the final episode, and it was almost the same thing.
Mm.
I'm not sure the show did itself any favors by having one episode of nothing but the Greens and then one episode of almost nothing but Rhaenyra's team, the Blacks. The cross-cutting, I think, could have picked up the pace of the episode, and so I wasn't emotionally engaged until that one shot where Luke is flying his dragon and you see above him the size of Vhagar, Aemon's dragon, and you are like, holy smokes. Oh, my God.
I didn't think it was possible. And I thought, did I miss something, Bubba, that Luke's dragon is so much smaller? This is crazy. I mean, we're talking about like a 20th the size.
But at the same time, it keeps pulling punches. That's what I felt about last week's episode. And this week, it felt like it, too. Why not just have Aemon, hey, this is the guy who took my eye. This is the kid who took my eye. To hell with it. I'm going to take him down. He's doing treason against my brother, the king. But no, it becomes, oh, no, Vhagar, no. The fact that the show kept trying to tell us, no, Aemon didn't want to kill his nephew, Luke.
Yeah, pulling a punch, I agree.
Just go there. He's angry. I would understand it. He lost an eye, this kid, you know, doesn't have an eye for an eye justice. So there were frustrating things for me in this season finale. Catfish, let's just get to it. What are your thoughts on season one as a whole of House of the Dragon?
You know, I think, Bubba, I'm going to give it a 7. And okay. I exactly thought the same thing. I'm glad you brought it up. This is exactly the kind of thing. Why make this? And, you know, I've talked about this before on this podcast, how I hate, like, coincidental things happening or misconstruing or a confusion to be the hinging of a plot. And I famously point out that's the silly reason why I don't like Romeo and Juliet, because of missed information. So I completely agree with you here. Make him go all the way. Don't make it be like, oh, I'm just trying to scare him, when it seemed like he legit wanted him to take his eye out.
Oh, so, for sure. He wanted his eye out.
Yeah.
And how about, okay, I'll even understand, oh, I didn't want to kill him, I just wanted to scare him. But then when he flies up and throws fire in your face, then be like, out of hell with it. Take him out. Instead of it, once again, ooh, I couldn't control my wild animal. Felt right. Like it pulled punches. I think the season as a whole was very good. You shouldn't judge, but I think you have to judge. For me, I still like season one of Game of Thrones much more. There's a lot of good in this first season, but a lot of things are tough. And you were joking earlier about how you put out a tweet where you said, Jace really screwed it up at the end in the dragon fight. And I was like, catfish, that was Lucerys, Luke, not Jace in the dragon fight. And the fact that you made that innocent mistake, I think that tells you something about how, in some ways, poorly they've developed those kids, Jace and Luke. I don't think the show hit on all cylinders as it could have. It's pretty good. They had a monumental task to tell, what, about 25 to 30 years worth of content in 10 episodes. That is pretty tough, but still some flaws in it. So I'll probably give the season 7.5 out of 10.
It's funny. I mean, you're a writer. I'm not a writer. But I wonder if they thought about basically having one episode of telling kind of the story up to the point of Viserys dying and then going from there, and then they just thought it was too unwieldy. This was a gamble, and part of the reason why I kind of rate the season the way it is, because they did so many time jumps. I've never seen anything like it in a TV show before. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they thought they had to do it that way. I know we have some listeners who disagree that, you know, we have felt the characters haven't been developed enough. Some of our listeners have thought they've been developed enough, but it would have been nice if we could have spent more time with these characters before this point.
Yeah. Now, what's great about this point as a season ender is you called it, it's got to be scorched earth after this. Of course it has to be scorched earth after this. But I think obviously there's still a bit of character development they have to do with some of these kids. I think for whatever reason, they developed the Greens pretty well. And obviously, as somebody on Team Green, I'm like, hey, that's great. These characters, even in an economical amount of time, they've really set up. Aegon is this kind of drunk, half-wit sexual assaulter who didn't want the crown. But wait a minute, he gets a little taste of cheers and suddenly he's like, oh, maybe. His wife / his sister is this girl who has visions and talks about dragon dreams and her thoughts. And then you have his one-eyed brother, who is this complex character who's probably better to be king than he is. And so I know those kids, believe it or not, listeners, there's actually a fourth kid of Alicent's who they've never shown once. Mm-hmm. Ignore that. But then I've just felt Rhaenyra's kids have not been developed well. I think Daemon's kids have not been developed well.
Bubba, I would ask you this, and I've seen some articles saying, I think even the creators and maybe Matt Smith have expressed confusion of why people were into Daemon when he's such a bad guy. And I'm not sure that that's it. I mean, we saw definitely some more stuff tonight. We've seen more, but if they have that question, they should question themselves, because we were looking for someone to be Tyrion, right? And he seemed like the one, and then he went off to the side. They made the decision, even though they're showing a lot of grotesquerie here, they made the decision and to not show Daemon killing his wife on camera, which I thought was to make us like him more. So I think that's part of the thing here. And now I think we can finally say, because we know what team Daemon's on, that the real hero of the show is going to be Aemon. So we know that now. He's the guy to root for.
He is. He gets stuff done, even if he didn't mean to get stuff done. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, don't pull it. I'm there. I'm there with you.
Listeners, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. Write to us right now on social media at DoublePHQ. Mm-hmm. That's the word double, the single letter P for podcast, HQ for headquarters, at DoublePHQ on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ. If you're watching this on YouTube, go down in the comments. Treat it like Vhagar treated Luke and his dragon. Smash that like button just like that. Tell us what you thought, because it's going to be a good year and a half before we see this great show again. And your comments are what's going to keep us holding on as we wait for this civil war to really get going. Oh, my goodness. Now, we are going to wait about a year and a half. They have not started filming season two yet. Listeners, if you're wondering and you're watching this on YouTube, you're like, why was there that big edit? Well, we had a Patreon moment that we had to cut. Maybe we'll put it at the end of the podcast for our Patreon subscribers. So, yes.
Love it. Love
so, speaking about this show, showrunner Ryan Condal, famed for the show Colony, which featured Catfish, as he loves telling stories about.
Yeah, sure do.
He's talking about season two, and he promises more war. Well, there should be more war. We had the war in the Step Zones barely. We didn't have really much war in this season. Plus, he says more humor coming in season two.
Oh,
what do you think about that, Catfish? More humor. Now that a kid has died, it's time for laughs.
Well, I think we've called for more humor on this show. And if you need more humor, I'm the one to call, because I was hilariously killed in Colony.
You know, I don't like attacking any showrunner, because making these shows is so hard. And, you know, it's always after the fact. You're like, well, I thought this would be conveyed. And then you screen it to an audience and they think the complete opposite. But one of the things he said that I do question a bit is he said he had to take a slow narrative in this first season to ensure viewers were invested in these new characters. And I say, well, yeah, I mean, the first season of Game of Thrones at times was slow, but as the season moved on, it was really kind of fast paced. And it was cut here, cut here, cut here, cut here. And we still felt drawn to those characters. Condal says season two will hit the rhythms of people came to expect from the middle run of Game of Thrones, but it will have been earned and viewers will feel the tragedies because we put in the work. Once again, I just would say, you know, a lot of viewers felt the death of Ned Stark at the end of season one. You know, they didn't have to go to a second season. They felt certain tragedies. And I do wonder about the promise of more lighthearted moments to come, is what he said in an interview with The Times in London. And I'm just thinking, which of these characters is going to suddenly bring the humor? I actually do think Allison actually has some sardonic humor to her. But do you see one of these characters being especially funny in season two, Catfish?
We've talked about this before with other shows. And I noted here, because you put the notes in here where he says they'll seek to introduce natural pathways into moments of levity. And this is what I always say. Even during our darkest times, there is kind of a dark humor. There's sardonic humor. All that kind of stuff still happens, even in the darkest of times. And you've got to give us that. And if you do it in a, you know, if that's your idea, kind of a natural, like he says, natural pathways into moments of levity makes more sense to me than like, we're going to have Jasker sing a song about coins, you know? So I think that fits for this show. So I'm pleased to hear that. I always use the example of Handmaid's Tale, which I only watched the first season of, and I was like, oh, I know these people are living horrible lives, but there have to be some moments of humor. For God's sakes, give us something. You can't just beat us over the head the entire time. I mean, I don't
know.
I'm
sure the Handmaid's Tale fans are really going to love that take.
Yeah. Well, no, but I just mean, but this is, again, exactly kind of a natural pathway into levity, where there's kind of black humor, sardonic humor, at least something where it's like just a little bit of release, where not slapsticky, not jokey, but just like recognizing the situation. I mean, we've gone through a tough time in these last 6 years of our lives here in the United States, and we still have moments of laughter. Sometimes it's very, very dark humor. But there's still some humor.
We sometimes have moments of laughter, not here on this podcast.
No.
But in other places we do. We keep saying it. We really don't care what we think. We want to know what you think. You're part of this journey with us into this war between Targaryens. So please write to us and let us know. Catfish, I do have to do a bit of double P podcast promotion real quick right here at the top. We've said it the last several weeks. We are covering Andor on our Parsec Passion podcast feed. If you're on YouTube, it's in the exact same place as all these other videos. But if you are a podcast downloader, you have to search for Parsec, P-A-R-S-E-C, Parsec Passion podcast. You'll hear us talking about Star Wars TV shows like Andor. And if you're into murder mysteries, you have to search your podcast feeds for Double P Podcast. That's where we're currently going through Let's Solve Magpie Murders, a new show that's airing here in the States on PBS, around the world on BritBox. Let me say that our detective Catfish, who's trying to solve these possible murders on our podcast this week, covering episode 2 of that show, Catfish makes like 3 really, really good points. And like one of them, I'm like, boy, Catfish, if you follow that to the natural conclusion, you might figure out. And then he goes the complete opposite way. And I'm like, okay, that's great. So it's real fun to solve this, watch the show, number one, but then also solve the mystery with us and Catfish. So check out those shows if you're interested in that. And the one thing we are very much interested in is interacting with you guys. And so Catfish, what is it time for?
Oh my goodness, it's time for Match Game 1. Oh heck yeah. As we have been doing since the beginning of this show.
Yep.
While the show's going on, we post some match game questions so you can do it just like the old match game show. We'll see if you match us. We'll see if you match some other listeners. This is very, very exciting.
Very much so. So, match game number 1. Lucerys Velaryon, or as we like to call him, Luke Strong, gets seasick. So instead of being Lord of the Tides, he'd rather be Lord of the blank. All right, so Catfish, I'll read it. You ready for your answer?
I'm ready.
Luke
Strong. But don't say the.
Okay, I won't. Okay. Luke Strong gets seasick.
Yeah.
So instead of being Lord of the Tides, he'd rather be Lord of?
Driftmark's best fish taco truck. You see, that way he gets to be near the ocean. Also, the fact that, like, she just calling him Luke, it just made me think of, like, some surfer. But he still can't be out on the ocean, bruh, because of being seasick. So he's just got the best fresh fish tacos, bro.
I gotta be honest. I think that truck may jostle too much and make him sick. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll be it. But okay, you ready?
All right, I'll read it this time. Okay, Luke Strong gets seasick. So instead of being Lord of the Tides, he would rather be Lord of?
Dramamine.
All right, I like it. Now let's see, Bubba. Let's see what our listeners have to say. We have got a bunch of tweets on this already.
Wonderful responses already. If you haven't responded yet here on Sunday night, be sure to reach out to us on Twitter, once again, at @PHQ, or down in the comments on YouTube. We love your answers. So, okay, so let's get ready. You ready? Luke Strong gets seasick, so instead of being Lord of the Tides, he'd rather be Lord of?
The Terra Firma Bastards Brigade.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, you know that could cause you to lose your head. You better not have Damon around here. That's from our wonderful, wonderful Dooley's Left Legs. We bow down to your wonderful, wonderful answer. And then if you remember what happened to Luke at the end of the episode, some of these answers are really going to be spoilers for those.
Spoiler. All right, here we go. Luke Strong gets seasick. So instead of being Lord of the Tides, he would rather be Lord of?
Vhagar's intestinal track. Intestinal track. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, that is your old buddy Bucho at Fists of Bucho. So good.
Once again, bow down to that is pretty good.
All right. Okay. Luke Strong gets seasick, so instead of being Lord of the Tides, he would rather be Lord of?
The beaches.
That's pretty good. The beaches. Yes. He's Lord of the Lifeguard Tower.
That's at Likely Seth on Twitter. Okay, where? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I found the bell. I will not believe this, but I'm so happy it happened. You ready? Instead of being Lords of the Tides, he would rather be Lord of Dramamine. Nick Fortuna and I match 100%. Another wonderful loyal listener at Nicholas Fortuna on Twitter. Incredible.
Yeah, now ring it again, Bubba. Endless Mike at Endless Mike 03 also said Dramamine.
What?
Yes.
This is incredible.
Yes.
Incredible. Holy smokes. I don't want to call myself a great mind, so I'll say an average mind thinks alike.
Wonderful. Oh,
at Endless Mike 03. No, two great minds at Endless Mike 03 and at Nicholas Fortuna. That is pretty good. I can't believe we got such great matches here on the final thing.
That is so good.
Oh, my goodness. I see one that's going in the Hall of Fame, so I'll save that for last. But you ready? Instead of being Lord of the Tides, he'd rather be Lord of?
The Clouds.
That's at Mando Tori on Twitter. Okay, so now this is a good one from where he was when he said this. Instead of being Lords of the Tides, he'd rather be Lord of the Map Room.
Oh.
at TCBPOV, that's Corey Bramblett. Another. These are all our classic people, but I think this final answer has to go in the Hall of Fame. Do you see this final answer?
I see it, Bubba. I'll let you read it. Luke Strong gets seasick, so instead of being Lord of the Tides, he would rather be Lord of...
gravity. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, this is just... they're all great answers, but at a godless key, who is Albert Godlesky, really just had a Hall of Fame answer right there. Lord of Gravity. R.I.P. Luke. We hardly knew ye.
He gone.
Continue to send us those answers. We want to know. Y'all keep matching with me. Say Dramamine. I love it. Catfish.
Yeah.
This is where we talk about R.I.P. Luke Strong, but strongest scene of the episode. Before we get to those strong scenes, though, all season long, we've kind of been skipping past the credits where we used to talk about them all the time in Game of Thrones. Now, this opening credits do change. The blood changes. Like if there's a new heir, if somebody has a kid, so the open changes to show us, hey, the bloodline is expanding. Any final thoughts on the show open, or have you just been skipping it all these weeks? How do you feel?
Bubba, I've been skipping it all these weeks. I just didn't find it as entertaining. I don't know. You've been watching it, I assume?
Yeah, I watch it each time. I can tell it changes, but it's almost so tricky because you have to look at the symbol and then say, oh, that symbol must tie to this character. And then, okay, if it has three blood little trails leading from it, that means, okay, they have three kids. Like, it is tricky. It is just not as fun. I do always watch it because I love that song so much by Ramin Djawadi, but no new thoughts. Next season, I guess I'll skip maybe. Or I don't know. I still love the song.
You know, who knows? I'm sure there's going to be countless more grotesque childbirth scenes next year. So we'll have new. And now when someone gets bumped off, does the blood no longer go there? That would be my question.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know. That is a real, real good question. Listeners, if you know the answer, tell us, the host at Double PHQ. We want to know. All right, let's get to it. Strongest scene. I'll admit that for me, I already mentioned it, the great scene of Luke on his dragon and then the shadow of Vhagar above him and it being so much bigger than his dragon. Oh, snap. That was the most incredible moment for me. What about you? What was your strongest scene and or strongest moment?
Well, for me, I mean, I did love that dragon scene because you just knew what was coming, but to see... Mm-hmm. how dwarfed Luke was incredible. The only thing that dinged it for me was what you mentioned already. Let's not have it be a mistake. You know, I guess just like playing with guns, you could shoot your eye out. If you play with dragons, someone could get burned and or chopped and or sent plummeting to their death. Besides that, for me, the most chilling scene was, it's kind of a slow build. We see Daemon kind of taking over, and then we see him physically with Rhaenyra, and that is
Oh my God.
That was I know maybe some people might think, really, it's taken this much, but that was the final turn for me for Daemon when I said Aemon greater than Daemon.
Well, yeah, dear Lord. Daemon tells her, I wrote down these lines, the enemy have declared war. What are you going to do about it? Like, he is very frustrated. She is trying to take after her father, King Viserys, and get some peace. And he's like, enough, lady. Let's do it. And he says, it's your duty as queen to crush rebellions. And then she starts mentioning, you know, hey, my dad told me about this ice and fire thing. And he starts choking her. OMG. If Daemon was the internet boyfriend, he just lost a lot of internet girlfriends. You can't do that. He's already killed one wife. At the funeral of his second wife, he was like, well, we were happy enough. Like, and then at that funeral, he gets busy with his niece.
Speaking of dark humor, at that point, I turned him Ms. Catfish. And I said, what's worse, family abuse or spouse abuse? Because both of them are happening right now. Just which is it worse that he's doing that to his wife or his niece?
And how about Rhaenyra finally being like, he never told you. You were the heir for so long, but he never told you. Is that why Daemon's really upset? Or is Daemon just, is he just a mess? Why did he start to choke her?
I don't know.
I
guess he just does. I mean, that's the thing about Daemon. It seems like he's just, you know, we saw him at the beginning. It's funny. We do have kind of a mirroring of a scene tonight, right? When Rhaenyra shows up on the dragon to confront Otto. And once again, I think we've learned here. I don't know why people have such a fealty to there are mores we have to respect. Like, someone came here to tell me, I'm willing to give you some decent stuff if you surrender, and I'm supposed to say thank you, go on your way, rather than like light them on fire. You know, same thing happens when Luke shows up and the guy's like, don't do spill anything here, when already like he's marked for death. Big deal. Now I can see why he wouldn't want it on his, because it's almost just like Rainey says, which I kind of understood when she said, this is not my war to start.
I want to get to Rainey's, because once again, I've said my favorite scene, but a moment that I really loved is that when I couldn't tell, I still don't know if it's Eric or Eric, shows up with the crown and they put it on Rhaenyra's head and everybody bows. One person, well, actually a couple, but one person specifically did not bow, and that was Rhaenys. She didn't bow. And literally, almost in the next scene, we watch Rhaenyra walking into the room there at Dragonstone with the painted table, and everybody kind of bows their head, but Rhaenys didn't. She obviously is on Team Black when her husband shows up and says, boy, I screwed it up. Heedless ambition has always been a Valyrian weakness. I reached too far for nothing. We should declare for no one. And she's like, our granddaughters are tied to this. We can't get out of this. And even though he knows or believes that Rhaenyra has been complicit in his son's death, he's like, this is my side. I guess I got to go for it. Even though he does occasionally call her princess instead of queen. So Corlys calls Rhaenyra princess instead of queen a handful of times. But there is one positive thing we can all say. The war over the damn stepstones is finally over.
Yeah, you know what, Bubba? It's like a land war in Asia. I'll believe it when I see it.
Now, I have read the book. I have read Fire and Blood. I've read the Princess and the Queen novella. I knew what was going to happen to old Luke. Catfish, when Rhaenyra is telling her kids, okay, you're going to fly here. You're going to talk to Cregan Stark. You know, he's about your age. Bond over men stuff. And then she tells her, Luke, you know, hey, you're going to fly. It's going to be fine. And she says, I want you to swear that you're not going to take part in any flying. Or any fighting, excuse me. And the boys, you know, put their hand on the equivalent, I guess, of a Bible, maybe. And I thought to myself, if you hadn't read the book, you might know this was a kiss of death. What did you think when she said sent her kids out and said no fighting? Did you know that there was going to be so much trouble ahead for Luke?
I didn't. I actually thought that the other kid was going to have more problems. You're right. I should have identified when they actually showed him more at the beginning of the episode that he was marked for death. However, as soon as he showed up to the castle and saw the other dragon there, I'm sorry. I wouldn't stick around.
Well, that was a great moment. I should point out that this actor who we know, Ewan Mitchell from The Last Kingdom, who plays Aemond, he is great. And when he does want the little kid's eye, his little nephew's eye, and he shows his eye, like, you know, I guess he's put a gem in there, put a rock in there. And he is like, dude, let's go. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, no. Oh, no. And this will sound absolutely ridiculous. If Lucerys had given up an eye, would he be alive right now?
Oh, I think he would be, unless he didn't know how to put an eye out properly and shoved it all the way into his brain. In which case, no. But it would not have been Aemon's fault.
You don't think he could have? How about a finger? How about a toe? You like toes? Yes, it's not an eye, but come on. This was so powerful. Aemond laughing as he's chasing his nephew. Once again, so good, so strong. But then when it became, oh, wait, no, 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 Vhagar, no, what are you doing, Vhagar? And it was, once again, a pulled punch is the way I felt it, a bit heartbreaking. I did give this 8 out of 10 because some of these moments, like that, hey, give me your eye, like that shot of these dragons attacking each other, was incredible. But it is time to go. It is. You have not read the book, Catfish. Is anybody going to make it out alive? Rhaenyra, she lost a son and a dragon, but she still has more dragons, is what we've been told. Is that enough for her to win?
Well, she lost two sons and a dragon tonight, right?
Right, because of her childbirth scene, which was just so painful. We haven't mentioned
that. Holy cow.
We haven't mentioned that as a strongest scene, but it was tough to watch, and her wailing. And Daemon not going in to see her. Remember, that's another reason why I think people are going to be off the Daemon internet boyfriend thing. Didn't she say she wanted to see him and he wouldn't leave the room with all the men planning the war?
I don't know. I missed that. I was just too like, oh my God, she wouldn't let anybody help her. Oh, also, man. It's like she's in pain walking around and talking to her sons. It's like, take a break. Let the nurses help you, for God's sakes, and then you won't have to pry your baby out of your body yourself. Holy cow.
God, that was just brutal. I think the maester was saying, you know, she's not really far enough along in her term to be going through this. I mean, it was not good. And I never really talk about the acting too much or the writing. Sometimes, or I talk a lot about the writing, and I've been critical at times, but I do love how the Baratheon lord there at Storm's End, when he gets the little message that Luke has brought, and he goes, remind me of my father's oath. Oh, that's great. You're here to remind me of my father's oath? Oh, you know, that is a bit insulting to be like, hey, remember what you said, your father said, I should say? Ugh. I love that reading of that line, and I did love that line in the script.
Well, here's my question for you, Bubba, because I didn't know the answer to this. Are they implying that it's written in a different language, or that this guy's such an idiot he doesn't know how to read?
I thought they were implying this guy doesn't know how to read. That's what I thought. That was another good little moment of like, thank you,
Maester. Yeah, where's he? Would have been great if he stopped in the middle. Well, thank you for reminding my... Wait, what was the whole thing again? Just tell him. Tell him I don't like what he said.
Oh, man, those are some strong scenes, listeners. What did you think was the strongest scene here in episode 10? Write down in the comments on YouTube, tweet at us, let us know. Because, hey, once again, we got to talk about all this great content until it's back in 2024, we hope.
All right, I love it.
So that means it's time for match game number 2.
All right. Rhaenyra calls the sea snake Double H.
Double H.
Hale and healthy. But it would be more accurate to say he looks blank.
Now, the great thing / terrible thing about this question is that there could be a million answers. You know what I mean? Like, there could be a lot of things you could say that he looks a certain way based on how Corliss the sea snake looked there at the end. So I actually wrote three different answers. I got to figure out which one I'm going to use the best. So, all right, you ready? Rhaenyra calls the sea snake Double H hale and healthy, but it would be more accurate to say he looks
Double S.
Double S.
Yeah, set for a sea burial.
Should old acquaintance be forgot? Right, put him in the casket, push him out in low tide. Oh, man. So I said he didn't look hale and healthy. He looked more like non-potable water.
Oh. All right, let's look at our listeners here. All right, Rhaenyra calls the sea snake Double H hale and healthy, but it would be more accurate to say he looks
like he's auditioning for a Battlefield Earth sequel.
Oh!
You know what? That is actually
but
brilliant.
He's always looked like that.
Right. That is brilliant if you're sad enough to know what people looked like in that terrible movie Battlefield Earth. So that's our good buddy Bucho at Fists of Bucho on Twitter. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Ooh. Somebody here said it'd be more accurate to say the sea snake looks double W.
Double W?
Weak and whipped.
Oh, cow. Holy cow. And that is, of course, Likely Seth at Likely Seth. And Rhaenyra calls the sea snake Double H. Hale and healthy would be more accurate to say he looks Double R.
Wait, Double R?
Yeah, retirement ready. That is at Mando Tori. Tori Hunter, excellent.
Okay, that's pretty good. I've got to get the bell ready. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
It would be more accurate to say he looks Triple W.
Triple W.
Weak, whipped, and wigged.
Yes! Oh, my goodness.
Corey Bramblett at TCB POV matched Likely Seth. Now, admittedly, Likely Seth didn't have wigged, so the two out of three, that's two matches, technically, is what I love to say.
That is pretty good. All right, Rhaenyra calls the sea snake Double H, hale and healthy, but more accurate to say he looks Double P.
Double P.
Pale and poisoned.
Oh.
That is at Dooley's Left Legs.
Oh, my goodness. And Nicholas Fortuna gives us his last one. He doesn't look hale and healthy. It's more accurate to say he looks gimpy and wimpy.
Love it.
All righty.
Love it.
So now it's time to talk about characters. And Catfish,
mm-hmm.
There are so many characters. We keep mm-hmm. seeing them in these sides of blacks and greens. Was there a character that didn't show up in this episode, like Laris, like Kristen Cole? Was there a character that you particularly missed in episode 10?
You know, it's funny when you mention those two characters, and I think they're on Team Green. It makes me rethink being on Team Green.
Oh, no. But did you miss them? Because they are full supporting the Greens in really... They stir the pot, unlike a lot of characters. I mean,
well,
Laris
I feel like
really stirs the pot.
Laris does. Kristen is just, he has a feeling of what's holy, and he's holy, and you're not. So I'm not in on the incel Kristen Cole. but my boy, Laris, love him.
Well, okay, how do you feel? It feels like, because you've got that green background behind mm-hmm. you, you've totally gone Team Green. Who are your favorite members of Team Green? And it sounds like it might be Aemond, the only one who appeared in this episode.
It's really Aemond is enough. He's the only really person I like on Team Green, but he's enough to adopt Team Green all on his own.
He's awesome.
Am looking forward to him going full. Just horrible. I want him to put Otto in his place. I want him to put his mom in his place. I want him to tell his brother, you just keep whoring and drinking, and I'll keep picking up after your garbage. All I care about, I don't care about the throne. All I care about is having the power to smack fools down.
Holy smokes. Now, I love Aemond, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, once again, I wanted him to kill everybody to hell with this. Let's go, Vhagar. Let's take them all out. Why am I Team Green? Well, once again, I think they're the most richly drawn characters, even if it's, you know, short sketches, because we haven't spent much time with Allison's kids, including that one who hasn't appeared in the show yet, child who doesn't appear in this adaptation. But I do think they're interesting. And in Alicent, you know, they did give her the, hey, whoops, I heard my dying husband say this, and I think it means he wants our son Aegon to be on the throne. That makes her more reactive and not as, you know, it's not like coming directly from her. My son has to be king. So that is a bit of pulling the punch there. But Alicent really, once again, she stirs the pot. She is there. She can fight with her dad. She can be friends with her dad. She can fight with, you know, disagree with Laris and then show Laris her feet. She can tell Kristen Cole, don't say those things about Rhaenyra. And then she can say, Kristen Cole, if you care for me at all, find my son. So I really did miss Alicent in this episode. And once again, I was okay with it just being a greens only episode last week. I think that back and forth, you know, Otto returning home to King's Landing and Alicent saying, oh, wow, okay. See, Dad, they didn't light you on up with a dragon. So Rhaenyra is, you know, is able to see the light and mm-hmm. not want to fight a war. You know, that would have been an interesting thing to see in this episode. Besides Daemon, then, who is the most interesting on Rhaenyra's side, the Blacks, Catfish? Who do you hate and or love on the Blacks? Rhaenys, Corlys, Daemon? Well, I said outside of Daemon, but anybody on the Blacks, Rhaenyra herself, who do you like watching on that side?
Well, I think it's Rhaenyra. It's Rhaenyra herself, and I'm looking forward to her kind of putting Daemon in his place.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to be helped a lot next year. What's going to happen is, as I said, I expect Rhaenyra to go scorched earth. That's going to leave Alicent with no choice but to go scorched earth. And so there's going to be no more of this, whoops, I didn't mean to send your son to his death. Everybody's going to mean everything from here on in.
How could you send that message? Dearest Rhaenyra, your son Luke met an unfortunate accident that we didn't want.
Yeah.
When my son's dragon went a little crazy. He just went a little funny in the head. A little funny.
I'm sorry. You made me think of Dr. Strangelove when you said that. Well, he went a little funny
in the
head.
That's what I was quoting, yes.
Oh, yes. Excellent. But let's be clear about this. It was all fun and games until Eric's was the one who spit fire. It was just a little bit of lighthearted jocularity.
Lighthearted.
Yeah, lighthearted jocularity. Ha ha, you're a chicken. Lord Strong.
He didn't like since he's dead, but he didn't like being called Strong. You know, that was kind of like the scab that if you picked at, he would be very sore about.
Well, but he was very good there that he did not. He was smart enough to know, you know, normally that would be a provocation. But right now, I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Is everybody in this story doomed? I mean, there are dragons, and apparently some of the players can't even control the dragon they're riding. Can anybody make out of this alive? How did the Targaryens continue on? I mean, this is slightly insane.
Now, well, you asked earlier who's going to make it out, and I assume, I mean, I'm not assuming anything. I'm mm-hmm. just hoping. You know, I think you and I are both hoping that the only really person who can save the world in the future is Aemon.
They don't have the dragons' numbers on Team Green. Then they need that giant beast Vhagar to be everywhere at all times. I mean,
well, you know. And also he is, you know, as Rhaenyra says earlier, you know, that Vhagar has been in some fights, and these ones haven't. Also, I wouldn't even care if the other ones had been in a fight and Vhagar hadn't. It's 20 times your size.
Well, hey, listeners, do you have a favorite on the Greens? Do you have a favorite on Rhaenyra's The Blacks? Let us know. We want to know, once again, we got a year and a half before this series is back. Should there be more time jumps so that we can see more different actors playing these roles? Let us know. Catfish, are you ready for Match Game 3?
I'm ready. And since we have to call for exact matches here, since I was the one who posed the question wrongly, identifying which child was the one who was in the dragon fight, I did expect something along the lines of something in the reptile family. So you have to match exactly.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right. So double L.
Double L?
Unlucky Luke was so unlucky.
How unlucky was he?
He brought a blank to a dragon fight.
Unlucky Luke was so unlucky.
How unlucky was he?
He brought a blank to a dragon flight.
Double S.
Double S?
Small salamander. All right, Bob, I'm going to ask you. Unlucky
Luke. Hold on. I still don't have an answer. Hold on.
Oh, man. All right. Unlucky Luke was so unlucky, he brought a blank to a dragon fight.
Two eyes.
Two eyes. Oh, man. Horrible.
No. If he had only brought one eye, he'd probably still be alive. So there you go.
All right. Two eyes. I get it now. All right. Okay. Here we go. Unlucky Luke. It was so unlucky, he brought a double L to a dragon fight. Double L? Yeah, little lizard.
Aw, he did. Aw, poor little Luke.
That was Dooley's left legs.
Wonderful.
Your old buddy Bucho at Fists of Bucho said he brought a double P to a dragon fight.
Wait, a double P?
A puzzled pout.
Ooh. That's so, oh, so sad. Oh, I love this one from at Likely Seth on Twitter. You right? You ready?
Yeah.
He brought a empty offer to a dragon. How about this? If the Lord Baratheon says, which of my daughters will you marry? Why not just say, whichever one you want, dude. We need you on our side. Instead of saying, I'm 14 years old and I'm engaged. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, right. He's not married yet. All right, here we go. We got some that are similar to mine.
Oh, okay.
He was unlucky. Luke was so unlucky, he brought a gangly gecko to a dragon fight. That was Nick Fortuna at Nicholas Fortuna.
Well, and Luke got some great car insurance from it, though. So very good.
Oh, man. He brought a infant iguana, a double eye, to a dragon fight. That was Endless Mike 03 at Endless Mike. All right. And now we have some that are out. They're different.
Yep.
Okay. Unlucky Luke was so unlucky, he brought a blank to a dragon fight.
Light sweater. That's Corey Bramblett at TCBPOV. Love it. And then you ready for Mandatory? You ready?
Let's hear it.
He brought a paper shield to a dragon fight.
Oh,
I love
man. That
callback to Cersei saying, is this your shield, Lord Stark? A piece of paper. Very good at Mandatory on Twitter.
And nice.
Our bell of the ball, our true hero, a godless key. You ready?
Yeah.
He brought a dragon-proof vest to... Oh, wait.
If only he brought a lightning rod.
I mean, dear God. Oh, my God. R.I.P., Luke. We hardly knew ye. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All rise. Enter the small council chamber as we debate the topics presented in this episode 10, The Black Queen of Season 1. The first item on the docket. Was Daemon's use of his dragon on the Kingsguard more or less likely to get them to tell the truth in their allegiance? Counselor Catfish, what is your thoughts about Daemon telling his Kingsguard, are you going to support us or not with his dragon there hovering over them? Likely
Yana,
to get to the truth or not?
Yana, yes. I always get to go first here. I'm going to cede the floor tonight to Bubba and then respond to his outlandish opinions. The double O's, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I will have no trouble going first. If you watch the episode in its entirety, specifically those two scenes, remember, Jace comes out, his mom is going through childbirth and saying, hey, you know, my mom says nothing happens that's not on her watch. And Daemon is kind of, you know, he's pissy about it. He's upset. Oh, wait, your mom's going to tell me I can't do these things, can't get ready for war? And then he says to Jace, you know, follow me. I'll show you what leadership looks like. I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like that.
I think it's loyalty, Yana. Loyalty.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. But then suddenly he's having these Kingsguard questioned while his dragon hovers over them. I'm watching the same episode you are. I'm seeing these Kingsguard behave the same way you are. Why are you even questioning their loyalty? They had been loyal. You know, that one guy, the bald guy, he was perfect. What made you think he wasn't loyal? Did he do that with all of the other people there in the around the painted table? No, we only saw him do it to the Kingsguard. So to me, no matter if it gets, you know, gets them to reveal the truth or not reveal the truth, if I'm a Kingsguard member and I'm being put to this, you know, put this kind of pressure under oath, even if I was going to swear to Rhaenyra, I think I would do it and then hate Rhaenyra for putting me through it. So I think it is less likely to get to the truth, because even if they were going to pledge complete loyalty to Rhaenyra, now I think they'll have to question their loyalty. So that's my thought on it.
Yeah, and I think that's very well phrased, and I have to congratulate Bubba on his very eloquent, although completely misguided, thoughts on this matter. Yana,
yes.
He was very clear. Daemon was very clear. You just need to tell me the truth. Now, we've seen the way people die in this world, and Yana, I gotta be honest, the worst I've seen it is in childbirth, Yana. But so maybe he should have said to them, you can either have a nice hot barbecue and go out very quickly, or I'm going to force you to give birth to a child, Yana. Death by childbirth, Yana. But
Your Honor, I think he actually could have said, you're either going to admit that you support Rhaenyra, or I'm going to put you in that room and watch her give birth. And they'll all be like, no, we support her, we support her, dear Lord. Or you could get killed by the dragon or watch her give birth. Oh, the dragon's fine. It's right here. We don't have to go any further.
Yana, you know, yes. I appreciate Bubba's answer. And I might see to him that it'd be more likely to get them to tell the truth without the dragon. But mm-hmm. I think it's more likely that they will now stick with Rhaenyra through thick and thin. Knowing what could happen to them, Yana. So that's all I'm going to say on this matter. When the rubber hits the road, you'd rather be roasted quickly.
Well, Your Honor, I do have this point of contention with the question as it is.
What do you mean by this, Bubba?
Well, Your Honor, the question states that was Daemon's use of the dragon on the Kingsguard. But aren't they now the Queen's Guard, Your Honor?
Yeah, it's just a turn of phrase.
But, Your Honor, aren't they now Kingsguard? And so I said I supported her.
Yana,
when I was Kingsguard,
but now
they're Queensguard.
In contempt of
yes,
court,
this
Yana.
Is completely pointless, Bubba. Shut up. What are you talking
about? But, Your Honor, I demand grammatical correctness in my oath.
Yana, enough. I couldn't even correctly identify which son it was that fell off the dragon. You can't expect me to do grammar good either.
The grammar doesn't matter. Listeners, what do you think? Putting your Kingsguard or Queensguard members to demand loyalty under threat of dragonfire. Is that a good way to get honest reactions or a bad way? Let us know. Issue 2. Does Rhaenyra need more allies or more dragons? Counselor Catfish, you went second last time. You go first this time.
All right, Yana. I will. I was going to cede it to Bubba, but I'll get it this time. Yana, people are fickle. We all know this. People change sides all the time. You need more dragons, Your Honor. You need them. You need at least 10 dragons to go up against Vhagar, Your Honor. And so I say get everybody on dragons, everybody you can trust, anybody who has a drop of royal blood, get them on dragons. Even the small dragons scare the bejesus out of people, Your Honor. You get everybody in line. You get more dragons, they see your power, and then you'll get more allies. It's a
your
simple
honor,
equation, Your Honor. More your allies honor. Don't get you more dragons, but more dragons get you more allies.
Your Honor, just like the last question said mm-hmm. Kingsguard, when I, at this point, it had meant Queensguard. I think the question, does Rhaenyra need more allies or more dragons? I would say after this episode, she needs more children. But seriously, Your Honor, she has a lot of dragons, and there are those unclaimed dragons that Damon mentioned in the episode. But you do have to have riders for them. Who's going to ride these dragons, and who's going to control them? As with Aemond in this episode, we saw that just having a dragon and not truly being able to control it is kind of pointless. So that's why the true answer is allies, and specifically allies which can ride those dragons. That is my correct answer.
Cross-examined catfish?
I think his case is ridiculous. I'm just going to say it again. More dragons equals more allies, but more allies does not equal more dragons. And you got to be able to trust every single person you put on a dragon.
Your Honor, why did Luke die? He died because he didn't get any allies. If that Baratheon who ruled Storm's End had said, okay, Aemon promises to marry my daughter, but my father did have this oath to swear fealty to your mother, Rhaenyra, I'll do it.
Your Honor, he just stepped into my... Killed?
No, he spends the night there at Storm's End and he chills out. So not having an ally led to his downfall.
Your Honor, he just stepped into my rhetorical trap because, you see, if he'd have had more dragons here, if there'd have been, say, two dragons here, they could have done like one of those pincer movements, Your Honor, on Vhagar. Get him from behind, get him from the front, he gets confused. You know, he's big, but he's old, Your Honor. So, you know, he's easily confused. Pincer movement, Your Honor. Pincer.
Your Honor, who's going to be riding that dragon to do a pincer move? Once again, her dragon riders are now down to one. She has the two girls, Rhaena and Bela. She has her son, Jace. I don't know if Joffrey's old enough to ride a dragon. He looked pretty young in this episode. She's got two even younger kids with Daemon. We don't know where they are. So that's three. Once again, her son, Jace, and those two girls, Rhaena and Bela. She's got her husband slash uncle, Daemon. She herself could ride one. That's five. And her second cousin, I don't know exactly if it's her dad's cousin, Rhaenys has one. So that gets you to six. Six riders. And yet, what has it done? It hasn't gotten her much of anything except a dead son. She needs allies, Your Honor, including, did you catch that name? Lord Grover Tully in the Riverlands. Let's go, Grover. Let's do it.
Very peculiar. Wait. Why are there eight dragons around me right now? Catfish is right. More dragons succeed. Fly them away. This is unfair. Order. All right. Now, we have traumatized our viewers all season long. And so the final question is, how many childbirth scenes do you want to see in season two? Bubba, your turn to go first. Do I really have... You have to go first. Are you sure? I said it. It's your turn to go first. All right, Your Honor.
How many childbirth scenes do I want to see in season two? Well, I didn't want to see any in season one. So is it possible to do -4? Is that how many we had in this season? Maybe more?
I think it was three, Your Honor.
I'm trying to think, Your Honor, which characters would be likely to give birth? Alicent.
No, four. Husband, you're right, four.
Alicent's husband is dead, King Viserys, so I would not assume she would have one. I would assume after this latest battle, Rhaenyra's not going to be in the mood to make more children, so I don't think Rhaenyra would try for another child. Would maybe Bela or Rhaena be old enough to have a kid with Jace? Possibly. And that would, once again, tie into who's going to rule Driftmark now that the named heir, Lucerys, is RIP. So that could be interesting. So that's one. And then is it a chance that King Aegon will either have more bastards and or his sister wife Helena, will have another kid? Maybe that would, having another kid might make Aegon once again more responsible than we've seen him. So,
Your Honor,
I'm going to say two more childbirth scenes.
Yeah,
Catfish, your turn. Stop interrupting. It's your turn.
I have to object to the idea that anything will make Aegon more responsible. Yeah, but he forgot to mention the most important person that needs to have an heir, and that is Aemond. Aemond needs an heir because he is going to be the true leader after all the mess is over, and he needs to have someone who's going to rise up and win this war of ice and fire, Your Honor.
Well, hold on, Your Honor. I want to cross-examine that. Mm-hmm. Technically, we're not exactly sure, but Aemond is not second in line to the throne. You know, his brother is king. But I'm pretty sure they showed in last week's episode that Helena has had a couple of kids. And if one of those kids or both of those kids are boys, then Aemond would be third in line, possibly fourth in line to the throne.
And so Aemond doesn't need any kids. I'm not worried about how many of his nephews he needs to erase from the equation, Yana, for Aemond.
He's good at erasing nephews. He's already proven
He's good at erasing nephews, Yana. The simple answer to this question, Yana, is 10, because I assume that's how many episodes we're going to have, and we need to see one horrific childbirth scene per episode, Your Honor. We need to see somebody standing out there with a dragon at the ready to incinerate them should they not be able to finish the act, Your Honor. Who doesn't want to see someone struggling through childbirth, getting cut open, pulling their own child out of their body, Your Honor? I mean, this is, I believe,
as God intended.
I believe this is the humor that the showrunner is talking about. He's setting up for next year.
I want that last statement stricken from the record, and I never said if I deigned that objection. So, listeners, you get to decide. How many childbirth scenes do you want in season 2 of House of the Dragon? How many do we need to see to have this twisty plot keep twisting? Give us your answers at WPHQ. Thank you, Your Honor. Always with podcast promotion. That's why you're the best. Bubba wins all cases. Thank you, Your Honor. I can't believe it. Just giving you a compliment got you to completely go to my side. You also have to marry one of my dead daughters. What? Oh, fine.
Sure. Oh, Your Honor. Could we bring those dragons back in, Your Honor?
Catfish, 10 weeks ago, we really didn't have much feedback from our wonderful loyal listeners, and we've begged them, we've pleaded them, we've said, tell us everything you think about House of the Dragon, because we want to know what your thoughts are. And sure enough, we've had some great feedback. Last week I said, hey, even if you don't want to answer Magic Kingdom questions, if you don't want to do anything, just send us some sort of feedback. And so we got this great email that really just is some of my favorite feedback I've ever gotten, and I want to get to it right now. And the title of the email was, I'm here.
I love it.
They wrote, hello, Bubba and Catfish. Heard your plea on a recent podcast, so writing to let you know that I'm downloading, listening, and having a great time. Oh, yes.
That's awesome. Awesome.
I'm not on the social medias too much, but I can assure you that I'm very much engaged and participating heavily by screaming my match game answers at my computer screen.
Oh, I love it. I hope that this listener has a bell ready in case they match anybody.
Right. They continue, I've been a big fan for a while now. Love Joffrey and the Parsec Passion Pods.
Oh, awesome.
Also very thankful to have been introduced to Jonathan Strange. And my wife and I just watched and enjoyed episode 1 of Magpie Murders last night, which we never would have done without your recommendation.
Awesome.
I hate when podcasts ask for Patreon money, and I have never done any of them. But for you two, I would enroll. I would be willing to donate my modest contributions to any way to help keep the great content flowing. I think between me and Dooley's left legs, we could at least get a green screen for Catfish.
Oh my God, this is amazing. I had not seen this feedback, but I have a green screen right now.
Continue on and wrote, big fan, having fun, don't want to be on the shows, willing to participate financially if you ask, keep the good times rolling, Kevin D. Well, Kevin D., you officially match with wonderful feedback, and we can't say enough to listeners like Kevin D in that we don't have Patreon. We're going to play a great Patreon exclusive content at the end of this episode where Catfish doesn't remember certain things, which are very funny, but just wonderful. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm so glad that Kevin, that you sent this in. You know, we have some great listeners, but it is so nice to know that there's somebody out there that is listening to us and appreciating us. It really does mean a lot. Thank you very much.
On Facebook, Michael wrote in, and he just wanted to say to him, Larry's is a loyal foot soldier.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael, very much. Now, on Twitter, you know, we record this podcast right after the episode, and we already have 4 people telling us what they thought about this episode 10. So, Catfish, take us through them.
All right. Likely Seth at Likely Seth said, okay, season finale. Rating it 8, double Ds out of 10.
Wait, double Ds?
Yeah. Double Ds are nice and disobedient dragons. Less nice.
Oh. Oh, well, 8 out of 10, that's what I rated it, so I'll ring the bell. That's a match. I consider that a match. Okay, Dooley's Left Legs, at Dooley's Left Legs on Twitter, wrote, I'd give the episode entitled, I would have given the episode a title, My Dragon's Bigger Than Yours, but he only would have given it 7 measly double Cs.
Oh, double Cs. The same ones I use. The horrific childbirth. No. Or whatever I said. Cringy
please,
childbirth.
Please no.
No, okay.
The double C's, as you know, is for croaky corlisses.
Oh, man.
Now, Dooley wrote, I was expecting bigger and better. The talk of spoilers and the early release had built up his hopes for an amazing episode.
Oh.
Yes, it was good, but the payoff wasn't grand enough, in his opinion, for a season finale. Okay.
No, this was same. I felt the same. It's like, oh, okay, good. We're ready to go. Okay, that's the end.
Well, Catfish, you gave it like 8.8 something, so you're much higher than Dooley.
You're right, I am. Okay. All right, Endless Mike at Endless Mike 03 says, I'd give it 8 out of 10 double A's.
Wait, double A's?
Aerial accidents. That's excellent. High tension throughout, and the season ends with me still feeling conflicted on who to support. And wishing they could all just be friends. Oh, that's nice, Endless Mike.
Oh, man. I love that Mike says he's still conflicted on who to support. Catfish, you, in this episode, for the first time, even though I've been begging you, you've gone full Team Green. What exactly did it to get you Team Green?
I'm just all in on Amon. That's all. I'm all in on him. Damon is horrible. I don't know. I just love Amon. I mean, if you watch this guy on The Last Kingdom, he's just this meek, super sweet character. And you're just like, dude, you do not belong in this world. But here he is, the cat's pajamas. I love it.
I love it as well. All right. So, hey, let's get to our final review of this episode we got on Twitter from our good friend at Nicholas Fortuna. Nick wrote, I absolutely loved the episode, the buildup from seeing a diplomatic solution to the Queen's war face as we cut to credits. Had him on the edge of his seat the whole time. I just hate we have to wait so long for the next chapter in this show. George R.R. Martin is correct. House of the Dragon needs 13 episode seasons, not 10.
Oh, ooh, my God. Wow.
I love that you loved it, Nick. I love that you loved it.
You know, George R. R. Martin is also right that we need more than 5 Game of Thrones books.
I don't know if he really feels that way anymore.
Maybe he should get on that. Fine.
No. Okay, what's our next bit of feedback, Kevin?
All right, well, now we got some feedback on episode 9. Shadowcat Bex at Shadowcat_Bex gave it 9 triple R's.
Triple R's?
Yeah, rock and roll reigning.
Oh,
Patman23 says, thanks for the shout outs and engaging with my pro Vaymon tweet. I'm always happy to chat with you guys. And of course, I don't mind if you're harder on the episode than I am. Great podcast this week on HOTD episode 9. I like the episode more than you two, but that's not a problem. As always, the banter between Catfish and Bubba is worth the price tag of this excellent and valuable podcast.
It's almost worth the price tag. Patman23. Oh, my goodness. And once again, hey, times have been rougher on this show than I want to be. I want you guys to love it. And when I hear that you guys do love it, like Patman or Shadowcat Bex or Nick Fortuna or anybody, it really makes me excited. So I'm glad you guys loved it.
Bubba, now you know the roles we play on this show. You're the one who knows everything, and I'm the one who doesn't know anything. And I really do my best acting job when I pretend not to know things.
Okay.
So perhaps you can explain this to me. We got a tweet from Todd Franklin at @Tiger_Todd1. And he simply says in all caps, I want soup.
Well, I'm going to hope, Todd, that because I was like, hey, just send us anything to let us know that you're listening to these podcasts. I think that's what Todd was saying. And he was not thinking we were, you know, DoorDash and going to provide him some soup.
Okay. All right. Well, Todd, thank you for your feedback. Your request is noted. I hope that you got some.
Heck yeah. Hey, we got some feedback about episode 9 on YouTube. You ready? From Tormund Giant's Brain.
Ooh, oh, well, I love it. And this now is this... on the small council debate. Who's right? Allison's try for peace versus Otto's kill them all. And I love it. He says Otto's, of course, would have been the best chance to nip the future tyrant in the bud. Allison's mercy was her biggest mistake. It's like Ned Stark's folly.
Ooh, I love that strong belief, Tormund. And let's be honest, right now at this point, you got to go team Otto because Rhaenyra's I want war face, not good.
Bucho. Our boy Bucho says, I forgot to respond last week, Bubba. I am indeed the same Bucho from New Zealand who was on board with y'all back in the Game of Thrones days. And I'm also muhassively impressed by your double M.
Double M?
Magnificent memory. And of course, I would love the heck out of it if one or both of you sons of guns made it out here to the South Pacific for a visit one day.
Catfish, you always talk about visiting New Zealand. Are you ever going to go?
No, I always talk about moving to New Zealand. Bucho, I hope you've got some space for me in your paddock.
We always say we care about your match game answers, even if they come after the podcast is recorded. So let's go through some of last week's match games. Are you ready, Catfish?
I love it. Let's do it.
After his death, the king was referred to as Viserys the Peaceful. After Lord Beesbury's death, he'll be referred to as Beesbury the...
Quintuple C.
Quintuple C.
Cruelly, cranially cratered by Kristen Cole.
Oh my God, that is Bucho. Oh my God, that's a lot of C's. That's pretty good. Okay, so after his death, Lord Beesbury will be referred to as Lord Beesbury the...
New standard in table stains. That is Hamlet as dead. All right, I'll let you read a couple. After his Lord Beesbury death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the...
Faceplate. At Revere Terry on Twitter. And then a couple more. I really love these next two. You ready?
Yep. Lord Beesbury will be referred to as Beesbury the...
Hard-headed.
Oh.
Not quite as hard as that ball he hit. And that's by Camille Lemieux at...
Lumeau
at Camille Lumeau on Twitter. Love it. And then this next one really gets right to the point. So after Lord Beesbury's death, he'll be referred to as Beesbury the...
Quiet. That's at Bill Kava, K-A-H-V-A. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, ready?
Well, we got a couple more. All right. Viserys' secret name is the White Worm. Larys' secret name should be...
Double S.
Double S?
Swarmy suck up. That's Hamlet is dead again. Nice. Not nice to Larys. Come on.
All right. And then my serious secret name is the White Worm. Larys' secret name should be...
Nothing clever. Just a disgusting MF-er.
That's another Camille. That's a Harley Camille. We are cornering the market on Camilles.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, Ed, here we go. Bill Kava has a great pair of answers. You ready for this? Larys' secret name should be the Silver Soul. That's S-O-L-E.
Oh.
Or Larys' secret name should be Foot of the King. Instead of Hand of the King, he's Foot of the King.
We missed it, Bubba. You sent me this great picture. It was amazing. It had Otto and Alicent on it. And next to Otto, it said Hand of the King. And next to Allison, it said Foot of the Queen. Oh,
no, I love this. We always love matches. So we said Larys' secret name should be. And Shadowcat Beck said Louis C.K., which was, of course, Satan Claus's answer. But then Satan Claus, who's at Claus Sons on Twitter, responded to Shadowcat Beck's and he said instead of Louis C.K., he should have been known as Larys C.K. Hall of Fame answers right there. Love it. Okay. All right. Our final match game. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Aegon's first act as king will be to
decriminalize self-abuse.
Oh, that is at Revere, Terry. He should know he's a lawyer. I did not realize it was criminal.
Oh.
Aegon's first act as king will be to?
Well, to what?
Declare. Don't talk about Child Fight Club.
Oh, man. The first rule of Child Fight Club is so good. At Harley Camille, brilliant. I love it. Then we got Hamlet is Dead is really coming through here. Aegon's first act as king will be to sit naked on the Iron Throne. Ouch.
Oh, man. Ouch. All right. And then here we go. Aegon's first act as king will be to audition for Stranger Things.
You know what? That's what you got to do. After you're on Game of Thrones, go get on Stranger Things. You know, really rack up the nerd points there. I love it.
Love it. Oh, my God. Well, Bubba.
Yeah.
Holy cow. We've come to the end. We're at the end. Mm-hmm. Of a season.
I know.
Is there anything that we usually do at the end of a season?
Well, we beg for this feedback so much. Mm-hmm. So the one kind of thing we do to make up for all our whining about begging is we say, hey, if you give us any sort of feedback, you'll be entered to win a prize at the end of this season. And we have possibly the most contest entries we've ever had, Catfish. And this is the first season of House of the Dragon. So this is incredible.
This is awesome. I love that people, well, you know, people love to match.
They do.
Even if they're just shouting at their podcast, they love to match.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put all these names we received, whether it's on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, email, like our good buddy Kevin D, we're going to put all of them in a generator, and we're going to come up with a number. And if your number gets called, you are officially the winner of a prize this year.
Holy cow, Bubba. Do we know what the prize is yet?
We might. Isn't it some cute little drawings and artwork?
It is cute little drawings and artwork. Let me show. Hold on.
All right. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to be able to see the prizes that we're going to be giving away. Really cool stuff. But again, the really cool things is you guys answering our stupid calls for participation. So thank you so much. So once again, on YouTube, and maybe I'll tweet these out, you're going to see this great artwork. So,
my God, this is exciting podcast. Exciting podcasting. All right, Bubba, as you know, we've been to a couple of Con of Thrones, where we got to do some amazing panels at these Cons of Thrones and lots of cool little artwork. So I have these two little 4-inch by 4-inch art pieces.
Oh, my goodness.
And one of them is Jon Snow.
Jon Snow and Ghost. So cute. Very lovely.
And the other one is the Night King.
Oh, and that is like almost a Charlie Brown-esque Night King. I love it.
It's
so
very
good.
Cool. You can hang them up side by side. I have one. I have another one of these that's Good Ash and Evil Ash.
I know, from the Evil Dead series. So cool. So, hey, listeners, we do that because we just want to thank you for putting up with our yelling at you to participate. So, Catfish, do you have the number generator ready?
I have the number generator. I just need to make sure I have. Let me just pull up your worksheet. I've got the worksheet. Do I have the worksheet?
I can send you.
There it is. I see it right here. I have it right here. I have it. I'm going to open it up right now.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Holy cow, Bubba. You are right. There are so many loyal listeners right now. Okay. I'm going to roll the random number generator. Okay, imagine that it's happening right now. Do, 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 do. Roll! Okay, and the winner is contestant number 26. Mm. That is Cara O'Hearn from YouTube.
Wow, wonderful. Cara O'Hearn gave us some great feedback in one of the earlier episodes, episode 4. So congratulations, Cara. We'll be reaching out on YouTube. This isn't spam. We're going to send you these really cool artwork we got at A Con of Thrones. Thank you so much.
Heck yeah. Thank you for everyone's feedback.
My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
I'm Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67. And we will talk to you in a year and a half on the Joffrey of Podcasts.
Okay, now let's play that Patreon moment where Boa gets so frustrated that Catfish can't remember what TV shows he's been on. But the showrunner, Ryan Condal, who worked on a show that you had a bit part on, you had a part on, Catfish. What was your role on that show again?
Ryan Condal?
Yes.
What show was he showrunner for?
The show, it was set in Los Angeles, and then you were a guy like getting, you know, in the future kind of Los Angeles.
The guy in future Los Angeles, I'm still completely... Oh,
you fucking don't even know your own career. You didn't bother to look up the showrunner of this guy. Okay,
no, I didn't.
Here we go. This is going to be
future Los Angeles. I'm still trying to figure this out. Future Los Angeles.
Why do I have to know your career? Why do I have to know your career better than you do?
You have to know it, Bubba.
Oh my God.
If it's just Colony.
A he created and ran Colony.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. Okay. That makes sense now. You're right. It was Los Angeles and it was in the future.
That's a Patreon moment. I hope you guys enjoyed it. My God. Someone help me. Throw me a bone.
Bubba, okay. I thought I was supposed to guess who the showrunner was. I hadn't read the book, so I was supposed to guess everything.
I'm telling mother.